I hope that this discourse is a great encouragement to all of us. And the overarching theme is for us in this time of waiting for all the words of scripture to come true, that we keep our integrity and also keep strict watch as we put on Christ. The talk is given from the third volume, Thy Kingdom Come, and the study or the talk is going to be focusing on chapter 3. Here, brother, which is the days of waiting for the kingdom. Here, brother Russell goes to extensive detail to bring to us the nuances of the rise and establishment of the papacy and all of the various twists and turns along the road, and also its eventual fall. Now, for the sake of time, I simply do not have time to do justice to that historical record. What I would encourage all of us to do is to avail ourselves of the wonderful, meticulous work that Brother Russell, by means of Holy Spirit, has put down for us in the third volume, especially in chapter 3 that we are discussing. Now, what I'd like to do is to stick not to a historical narrative, but one deeply rooted in scripture, which leads us as a household of faith to have absolute confidence that we are living in these times. Now, what I'd like to do is to encourage all of us, if we may, to either look up or to follow with me as we have a look at we'll start looking at Daniel chapter 12. Now, the entire study here is primarily based, chapter 3 is primarily based on an examination of Daniel chapter 12. The preceding chapter was on verse 11 of Daniel. But here we have such rich information which is of great import for us. I'd like to start reading, first of all, from Daniel chapter 12. The first stanza will be from verses 1 through to verse 6. Now, I am reading from the New American Standard Version. And here it says, verse 1 of Daniel chapter 12. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will rise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time, and at that time your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? Now, what we'll have a look here is there's got so much rich information for us as Bible students, is we're just going to look at the meaning of some of these terms, and this will bring clearly in mind what Daniel was talking about. Now, first of all, we come to Michael standing up. Here this is depicting our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he is called the Prince of Peace, but he is the Great Prince. And at this time that we're talking about, he stands up. So that means that he takes action. This is really, he's standing up. He is in a mode of action taking. We can think of maybe sitting down or reclining, maybe that of waiting or inaction, but standing up is a clear indication that action is going to take place. So here at this time, Michael, who pictures our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to take action. So what's he going to do? This is very interesting. What does he do? The second point that I want us to look at is this time of distress. Now, this is very interesting because the focus here is not on the distress, which some have got very caught up in, but actually it is the actions because of the distress that indicate to us the action of our Lord. So what we clearly see here is that there was this time of distress, and then there is the action that is taken place by Jesus Christ. And here we read, everyone who is written in the book will be rescued. So we have here an action of Jesus Christ, those written in the book, and they're going to be rescued. Now, we will pick apart this a little bit later on, but one thing is absolutely clear is that true Christians have been persecuted. We know that, and that actually continues to be. Even now, we find those really, those forces against anyone preaching the word. This is getting very difficult in our times. But when we look historically, what happened? When people wanted to translate the Bible, what happened to them? The powers that were, whether it was the papacy or the monarchs and so forth, really, they went out, literally went out against ones to persecute them and to stop the gospel message going out. And this has been well documented right through history. So this distressing times is persecution. And was persecution of these ones written in the book of life. The ones here in verse three, and those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many righteous like the stars forever and ever. Now we'll touch on this a little bit later, but this here indicates these are the ones written in this book. We see that they would be those having insight would shine. Now, when we think of something shining, it's something that grabs our attention. So those who had insight did what? Hide it away? Can't be seen or identified. No, when something is bright, it catches our eye, it stands out. And so those who are written in the book of life, those who are going to be rescued by our Lord, were shining. So this is very important. They're not hiding it, they are shining. This insight is encouraging, this illumination of God's word. Also, I'd like to go down a little bit further here when we come to Daniel's secret, or the secret for Daniel. Here we have here in verse 4, we have, but as for you, this is the angel speaking to Daniel, conceal these words and seal them up in the book until the end of times. Many will go forth and knowledge will increase. Now that is, that's such a in-depth verse here. But what is clear from the time of the writing of these scriptures, it could not be understood until this time of Michael or our Lord standing up. Couldn't be. It's actually written in the scriptures that this knowledge, accurate knowledge of scripture, was for a later time. So this is very interesting. Just because people had the Bible or the scriptures, it didn't mean that they understood them. And when we look at the history of the scriptures, many people over time had the Bible or parts of it, but yet you could not say that what they were practicing was that of upright and pure worship. So this is very important. There is a time, and this connects back. This connects back to the person knocking at the front door. So I'd like to go on to I'll go on to the stream. Also the point of the increase of knowledge. This is really important where we read here at the end of verse 4, and knowledge will increase. This time of our Lord, right, not only do we have the shining light of scriptural truth, understanding God's plan, that's number one and most importantly, but what we would see in humanity is an increase of knowledge. Now, when we look back at history, there were more than one dark age. We see that the papacy and the coming in of the papacy had a dramatic effect of holding back humanity. When we think about the great destructions, probably the greatest, probably act of terrorism in the entire world, was the destruction of all of the libraries of ancient people and their understanding, the knowledge that was lost and destroyed when especially the Catholic Church went in. What did they do? They destroyed all cultures, all of the knowledge that people had was destroyed. And we know that as fact. And that kept all of humanity locked in for such a long period of time. So this prophecy has the duality from the most important, which is the scriptural, for this illumination, and also what we would see in the world, this acceleration of knowledge. And we can see this right now, that what was taking 10 years is probably taking 6 months. That's the advancement that we are seeing. So the stream of water, which we read about, and this is very important. We'll look a little bit further on about this, but the waters signify people. And this is so important because what has happened is Satan, and I think when we look at present events without going into it, I think fear, especially fear, is used to stir up people and then to control them. Let's just put it that way. And that Satan uses these waters to try to get people do his bidding for him, and we'll learn. So just to keep in mind, the streams of water is in fact people. Now, the point is we're talking about waiting. When would these things be? Well, I'd like you to look with me down in verse 7 of Daniel chapter 12, and it says this in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7. And I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river as he raised his right hand and his left towards the heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and half a time. And as soon as they finished shattering the power of the holy people in the, all these events will be completed. Now, this is a, this verse here is probably a 10-part symposium, but, for time, these times, times and half a time work out to, 1260, years. Now, just for time, I'm not able to go into all of this, in really any detail. But Brother Russell brings out accurately so that this time, which could be also, viewed as a time of complete darkness, not just spiritually, but also in terms of knowledge, and for humanity. And that was the papacy. It had this suffocating effect on on humanity, spiritually and also in its endeavors. Now, Brother Russell brings out that the papacy really started in 539 AD and the 1260 years, which was the time, times and half a time, ended in around 1799. Now, this is very interesting because what we have in 1799 is one of the most seismic shifts in the liberation of people against papacy. And that was the French Revolution. In the French Revolution, Brother Russell brings out and rightfully brings out that what happened is in France, there was three estates. They called them estates. The first tier was of the church, the papacy. The second tier was in fact the nobility and the monarchy, and of course the very last, and always seems to be the case, was people, and they were the ones paying all the taxes. Of course, I don't think too much has changed in many ways, and they were the ones that had enough. Now, in 1799, around that time, people had enough. And there was an absolute freeing of people from the Catholic Church and also those who were in cahoots with them. So the people had enough. But this is interesting. While this idea of liberty and freedom spread right across Europe and of course the rest of the world, one thing I'd like you to look at with me is if we have a look at Revelation chapter 12. Yeah, Revelation chapter 12, which ties in perfectly with this, and this is very interesting. Revelation chapter 12, and it's right in front of me, Revelation chapter 12, 15 and 16. And it says here, and the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the rivers which the dragon poured out of his mouth. Now here, what happened in short was that the protesting churches, the protesting Christians, to put it that way, against papacy, they'd had enough. But what Satan did is he tried in stirring up the revolution is he wanted to cause, quite interesting what's going on, he wanted to cause this anarchy, and from the anarchy, then the governments to crack down on this dissent and then to re-establish the papacy. In short, it was not God's plan, and that did not happen. And the earth came to her rescue. And here, brother Russell points out that the earth is in represents society, the ordered part of society. The woman represents the reforming church, those who are coming to spiritual understanding and freedom from the Catholic Church, and also the water symbolized the truth. It wasn't probably orderly when it comes to the French Revolution. It was a bloodbath, but it could not be stopped. Truth could not be stopped, and freedom could not be stopped in terms of this time of freedom from the papacy. I would like to now go on to something that is of absolute vital importance to us right here and right now. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 25 and verses 1 through to 12. Now, this is the parable of the 10 virgins. Absolutely, I believe, one of the most fascinating parables that our Lord ever gave. Matthew chapter 25, and I will read the account here. And this ties in very much about the responsibilities, the obligations, and also the grand blessings that being awake and shining and being rescued by our Lord, these lessons are here for us. So Matthew chapter 25, and I will read to verse 12. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Now while the trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." This is an immense study, immense. It is one that Bible students have examined for the time immemorial. It is just so, it's such an amazing parable, which has so many different nuances to it. I'd just like to go through with you very briefly. I think I'm running out of time a little bit. I'll just say this. The things to remember, and I think this is just so important. All of the, they were all virgins. Very important. all virgins. So they were spiritually clean. They all had oil. They all fell asleep. All of them. And when the call came, one was accepted and the other was not. What Brother Russell points out is that he points out the Miller movement, who had discernment, but then later on ran out of oil. They were not able to keep their focus. And that is very true in that time. Very, very true. But the point is this for us at this time of the gospel age is that all of us can be like that. We're holy people. We are spiritual virgins in a clean way. But if we do not, trim our lamps, which means, the lamp is the Bible, I should say. The trimming of the lamps is the searching in the scriptures. It is going on. We must continue searching. The oil is in fact the spirit of truth, and the vessels are ourselves. Okay, so when the discreet, the wise, virgins said, we can't give you any. The reality is we cannot give, we cannot say, we cannot have a consecration for somebody else. We cannot be overcomers for somebody else. Everybody else, we must individually carry our own cross. Nobody can do it for us. This is very, very important. Brothers, as we come very close, I'm starting to run out of time. In conclusion, dear friends, I would like to bring your attention to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews 10, 23. I'll start at verse 23. It says this, and this is just so poignant for us in this time. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembly together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Dear friends, I hope that I have done a little bit of justice to this colossal work by Brother Russell. May we all shine brightly as the stars, and we wait earnestly for our Lord. And that time is very, very soon. I hope that I have not erred in word, and I thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak on this subject. Thank you very much, and God bless.